Praise God. Welcome to church. Good evening. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Don't worry about the cold weather. It's a part of your prayers. There shall be showers of blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for, indeed, you are a good God. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for the word that comes to us. Thank you because, indeed, it separates us. And it comes and it does us profit as we mix it with faith. We give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You know that today is a booster service, and we come and to dig deep in God's word, learn from what God has to tell us in Romans chapter 1. So while I was reading this, a question came up, and I hope you will see the question when I read it. The book of Romans. I'm going to read from verse 15. Let me take it from verse 13 so that I give context to it. Okay? It says, now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among all the other Gentiles. Sorry, I want to read the New Living Translation. NLT, please. Romans 1. And I take it from verse 13. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, the NLT, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to walk among you and see spiritual fruit, just as I've seen among other Gentiles. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and the uneducated. Okay, so verse 15, please pay attention. So I am eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. First the Jew and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Verse 18. And the Bible says, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature, so that they have no excuse for not knowing God. Amen. If you read verse 20 and 21. So verse 20, if you read in the NKJV, verse 20 says, for this, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 20 says that recreation for this, since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Amen. I tell you this, the good news. The good news. Okay. Now, it says his attributes are clearly seen through nature, by the creation, the things that he has created. So if you want to know, if you observe nature carefully and you're very attentive to nature, it says that if you look intently, you will know that, that you will see God, God's hand in that creation you are looking at, and then you will see God. And it's saying that people have they are purposefully adding themselves to say that there is no God. Hallelujah. So it says that they are without excuse, because all around you, all around us, there's nature. Amen. Hallelujah. All around us, there's nature. I've seen people come up with different pictures. How somebody will come with a tuba of yam that its shape suddenly looks like the map of the world or the map of Africa, and then you begin to wonder how on earth these things happen. And if you are not processing anything, and when I say processing, when you are not thinking deep about anything, you are going to gloss over these things without exactly knowing that there's God. Hallelujah. Because if you are just a careless person that just thinks that things just happen by chance, you know, everybody, someone will say, I was very lucky today. I was very lucky today. There's nothing about luck. Hallelujah. It's all that God has orchestrated your, it says you order your steps in the best pathway for your life. That's how the Bible puts it. Okay? So when things happen to you, the new generation being, there is nothing about luck. Hallelujah. You have simply found yourself walking in the will of God and then aligning with what God's will is for you. Okay? So there was a time I was watching. So one of the reasons why I usually take to sports, okay, is that it doesn't take you so much energy to watch sports. As long as you know the rules of the game, you can watch it. Whether it's people that are running. See, if somebody to come first. Now, please help me power this thing. I don't know why I decided to dress like this. I'm feeling hot. Thank you. Okay, so I'm saying that one of the reasons that why I like sports is that you don't need, for you to enjoy it, you don't need any deep thought. If I see Mr. Jay, come and watch football. Even if he doesn't like it, I only need to tell her that, look, this white thing that they are kicking around, the aim is to get into the net. Abi, that's all. And any other sport, if it's people running, so it's the first person that crosses the line. So when everybody's watching, you can just get it simply. Now, if you're watching a film, it's a problem. Because somebody will start a story. The first show you have seen, or maybe 20 years, 30 years ago, of children when they're small, like you just bring Wiley and this other when they're small 30 years ago. And then suddenly they'll show you old women or grandmothers, and then they expect that you connect to that 30 years ago, and then they begin to tell you the story. It's voila, because the moment you step out, then you come back, you are lost. If you are watching a race, or if you just look at what's the score, 0-0, you don't have a problem. You just continue watching. Abi? Now, the people that go into the technical details, they'll be the one that will say, and that's why they are making all those games even boring now. All this technicality making it boring. You get me? So one day I was watching a film. So they said in the film, and don't forget what I'm talking about, that some people know that they see you're supposed to see God in nature. That's how the Bible says. And then it says they are without excuse. Now, so I was watching this film, and then they showed us that this is Mr. Sajina and I. And I'm talking to Mr. Sajiri, say, Mr. Sajiri, bring this bottle of water. And then Mr. Sajiri, in this part of the film, refuses to bring the bottle of water. And then they come to this part. The same me and Mr. Sajiri. And I tell Mr. Sajiri, bring this bottle of water. And then Mr. Sajiri gives me the bottle of water. Then they will not come back here. Imagine, they'll not come back here. After he refused to give me the bottle of water, that maybe I punch his nose. Okay? Then they come back here. Yeah, we are best of friends. So, and then they say, I think they say that thing, sliding doors or something. Now, at the end of the day, they were trying to show us what happened if this man took this decision and what happens if he takes this decision. And then they eventually found themselves, and then they brought themselves to the same point. Now, the end result of point A and point B for them in that film was the same point. But the troubles that they both went through in that journey was different from this side and from this side. We're trying to tell you that in life, the decisions you make per time determine the path or the things that you go through. Amen. Now, I started this part of from verse 15. Can I have verse 15, please? He says, so as much as is in me, I want it in the NLT. So while I wait for her, okay. So he says, so I'm eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news. Next verse. For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. First, the Jews first, and also the Gentiles, okay? Then he says what? This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life, okay? If you go to verse 16, it says in verse 16 that I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. Hallelujah. When I was going through this, what was on my mind was verse 20. That was talking about the creation being, that the attributes of God being seen, okay, in all that has been created. Okay, so that if you are looking at me the way you are looking at me, you must be seeing God. Hallelujah. You know, just wonder that this man, he looks so different today and yesterday was different. He has to be God. Hallelujah. And then you begin to see different things. And I've told you that, you know, they used to tell us that when mothers give birth, they shape the head of the children. But I see that practically every child, the head is like either the father's own or the mother's own. So I don't know how well they are pressing it. Hallelujah. You know? And so each time you are telling somebody he's a big head, he's either his father or his mother or his grandfather. So be careful. Well, one of my father-in-laws, okay, about 20 years ago, they called him to his son's school and said that. So he sat down before the principal, and the principal came and said, look, this boy is just a rascal. He's just not good about anything. He's just this, he's just that. The man said, okay, calm down. He's somebody's son. So whatever is inside him, he must have gotten it. Because I was talking to you, because the man could see himself in the boy. So as the principal was just rolling out all the characteristics of that boy, the man said, okay, calm down. There. This boy is somebody's son. Is that it's from his mother or he got it from his father? Hallelujah. Amen. But the beauty of it is that you cannot observe creation and not see God. The Bible says you are without excuse. So in this part, let's go back to verse 16. It says, I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jews and also the Gentiles. Then it goes to verse 17. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. And that is the question. How does God make us right in his sight? He says, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. And then when you look at it, I'm beginning at, why is he making us right in his sight? First is the good news. What's the good news? Why is the good news essential for you and I? Hallelujah. Okay? And then why is it so important to God that he makes us right in his sight? So if you do not have the good news, you cannot have that right, okay, to be right in God's sight. That's what he's saying. He says this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. If you do not accept that good news, you cannot be right in God's sight. Hallelujah. You can deny all you care about the fact that there's a God. Amen. But you cannot be in God's presence or stand in his presence if you deny this good news and do not accept it. He says this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. He said, this is accomplished from start to finish by faith. What's accomplished by start to finish by faith? Being right in God's sight. Okay, first, the good news tells us how God has made us right in his sight. Okay, and then this being right in God's sight is accomplished from beginning to the end by faith. Hallelujah. It says, as the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Hallelujah. You look at John, is it 10:10? It says that I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. By the way, when Toby was giving her testimony, you could see that she's very satisfied and content. As we're just very comfortable in that capacity as you were saying it. And it speaks a lot, it speaks volumes. So when you are giving a testimony and you can see the other thing is a problem. As she was saying it, I could see that even saying it, she was like, nothing happened. I'm just okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So he says, okay, so this says, John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. And it says that, as the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Hallelujah. Now, so you begin to ask your question. This good news, how has God made us right in his sight? First, the Bible says it's by the good news. Okay? And then, what is the good news? I'm sure that you know the good news. Hallelujah. It says we are made right in God's sight when we believe that Jesus came to the earth as man, lived a perfect life, died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and then rose from the grave 3 days later. God alone is righteous, but by grace, through faith, he can declare us righteous true. By grace, through faith, God has declared us righteous true. Hallelujah. So, yeah, the grace of God has appeared to all men. Okay? Now, that grace he has given to us, all men. Now, it takes you having faith in the good news, which is that he sent his son, okay, to die. Okay, he lived a sinless life, a perfect life, and then he died for 3 days, and then he rose. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's synonymous with what happens in the Old Testament. And then he says, every time in the Old Testament, they will come with an offering without blemish. Okay? That without blemish is the same thing as Christ that was living a perfect life without sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 1:17 tells us that this perfect life from start to finish is only accomplished by faith. Hallelujah. And so man has built, in the quest to understand God, in the quest to know God, man has left the simple basics that God has given to us. So as we look at it and say, oh, is God Almighty? Absolutely, is God Almighty. But God Almighty also has given us a key to him. Amen. Do you know that? How do I relate? If you look at, for instance, if you look at your parents, or anybody in the household. There's the father, the mother, and the children. Okay? Now, that father is probably the CEO of a company. Right? Now, everybody that works in the company where that CEO is, not everybody has access to him. Or not everybody can freely approach him. Okay? But that same person comes home and then is relating in the home as a father. Okay? So there are different levels of relationship that people will have with that singular man. All right? Okay? I'm trying to paint that picture for you that, okay, yes, he's Almighty God. But then at the same time, he himself wants us to relate with him. What he designed from the beginning was a relationship between him and man that he created. Okay? And that's why the Bible records in Genesis that he will come in the cool of the evening and then he will come and then have fellowship with Adam and Eve. Okay? And then once sin came, which is why he sent them out of the garden, once sin came, because God is perfect, he cannot behold sin. He could no longer have that relationship with them. He simply threw it away. Okay? And then he looked for a way out, and then he gave us his son, Jesus Christ, and says, look, all I need all of you to do is identify with what I have just done, which is I've sacrificed, I've brought a sacrifice, identify with it, have faith, and believe. And then everybody begins to coin everything. So, it says, God is the Alpha and the Omega, okay, and everything in between. You know, now everything in between is added by people, okay, so that you know that from the beginning and then you have an end. But there is a process. That's what they're trying to tell you when they say that God is everything in between. There's a process between the beginning and the end. And in that process, you cannot go through that process except with God. All right. Okay? So God is saying that, look, all I need you to do, accept. Okay? Now, from the point when man lost his relationship and to the point where God made that sacrifice and restored man, there were things in the middle. And if you understand one thing, if you are going on a journey let's not take it too far. If you are going from a journey from here to wherever you have come from, you will not stop midway and say, I have gotten home. Right? So if I'm going to Baghdad, for instance, I won't get to the express and say, oh, I'm not going anymore. I'm home. Because that will be a problem. So from the beginning, on the journey, God was ordering steps, and then he was bringing different things across their way or across man's way so that man could understand. Okay, from the beginning when he lost, and then he was guiding him all through, and then he had people all the way that were adhering to the things that he was telling them, which is why Romans 15 verse 4 is very important. So when we look at all those stories in the Old Testament and we look at all those stories, we begin to see that all the while, when people were growing wild, some few people were there so that we could see what God intended even from the time man lost his relationship. So God still found a way. And when God was coming to find a way, God looked and said, this one is a righteous man. Which one? Who was the first one? Noah. Is it Abraham before Noah or Noah before Abraham? It's Noah before Noah. Abi? It's Noah before. So when he came, he simply told Noah, guy, I've seen that you understand who I am and you are conforming. Okay. And these guys, all these other people, they are just, I don't know what to call them. They're just macacos. Let's erase them. And I know because of the kind of people they are. When I tell them something, they will not listen. So build an ark and tell them water is coming. And because of the kind of person Noah is, and that's the kind of person that God is looking out for you and I to be, he quickly understood that this is God, and then he obeyed. And then he went to tell people, this is what God is saying. And then we go to Abraham, was righteous. And then God counted it to him as righteousness. And then we keep moving. And for every point, everybody that looks like a significant landmark in the Bible, they had that right standing in court with God, which was that they were obeying. And then all the way, and then Christ was born, and eventually this ultimate sacrifice was made. And then he says that if only you will accept him, that this is what he has done, is from me, this is what he has done, then you are free, you can access him. Now, the man goes back to the very beginning and says, all I want to do is just continue obeying the Ten Commandments, which is what? Love the Lord your God, thou shalt not kill, blah, blah, blah. And then, along the way, it becomes overwhelming because you cannot remember everything. Or if you are remembering everything, when you think that this guy, why is he forming? Is he the only person? Yesterday, he bought a pair of shoes. Today, he's buying trousers. Then, meanwhile, is it the commandment? You shall not covet your neighbor's good. Problem. But meanwhile, God is here waiting for you. You have come back here saying this is what you want to do. Now, if you want to relate these things to life, when God forgives us our sin, it's as good as we wake up in the morning and then we go take a bath. Huh? You go take a bath. And what happens when you take a bath? If you take your bath well, hallelujah, amen. When I was in camp, I went to serve in the north. When I got to, I told you the first day I got to camp. I got to camp around midnight in the north. And then I had to sleep outside. I slept with my bag as my pillow. And I got mattress that night. It was very thin mattress. But I didn't have a problem with mattress, because even the one I was using from home self, it wasn't anything to write to my blast. But I had a problem with the bag as a pillow. And then in the morning, as early as 4 a.m., they started blowing the bugle, everybody to the parade ground, blah, blah, blah. I was still forming, good boy. I woke up, I was trying to brush my teeth, and then the guy just came, he blew the whistle and screamed and shouted. I dropped my brush, left close up in my mouth, in Amatan, and then I ran to parade ground. My mouth was on fire. And then I couldn't talk because I didn't rinse. So then we march till 10 a.m. We march till like 7, go back, come back. By the time you go back to take bath, you see the queue. And then it's cold. And me, no water. I cannot take my bath. That's why I'm going to be like this. Ah, this kind of thing. Everybody taking their bath, lie. I cannot take my bath. Lie, I'm not going to take my bath. Then when I just go carry my towel, face towel, and then clean my face, clean my body. And then I go back to parade ground. And then when it's around afternoon, when the weather is hot, and then I go and look for water. And at that time, water will not be flowing. When I want to... Okay, so when he forgives, it's like when you take your bath. Okay? You are just all clean. Amen. So one condition why you don't take your bath is when there's no water or the weather is not considered. The other time I found myself not taking my bath, when I went to the U.S., very cold. To get out of bed was a problem. It was cold. I just sat down in bed like that. And then, as I sat down in bed, it was, time was ticking. By the time I knew, it was 4 p.m. And then I got out of bed. And my wife like, have you had a bath today? I said, where did we go? I said, oh, where are we going? Which one? Where did we go? Where are we going? He said, it's 4 p.m. You know, I said, I don't even feel like I've slept safe because my body feels very fresh. So for 2 days, I didn't take my bath. Until one day, I discovered that they said that you are not supposed to be taking your bath every day. So if you want to argue, go and check. They said you are not supposed to take your bath every day anyway. So some people will be happy, some people will not. But you're not supposed to be taking your bath every day. Just go and note that. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so forgiveness is like taking your bath. You take your bath and then you feel fresh. All right? So it means that if you are feeling fresh, you don't need to take your bath. That's just it. Now, when it comes to right standing with God, it's like when you go after taking your bath and then dressing up. The way you dress up is determined by where you are going. Hallelujah. So if you come to my house and you see me dressed like this, you say, good evening, Pastor MY, are you on your way out? Abi? But it would be abnormal for you to see me dressed like this in the house. And then I'm walking around. You just ask, what is wrong? Or are you just coming from somewhere? So, now, the way you dress is what brings you into the presence of people. So, when you take your bath, it's forgiveness. God has forgiven. That's the sacrifice he made. Now, that right standing with God is what dresses you up to be able to approach God. Hallelujah. And when you put on Christ, amen, what God is seeing is Christ and not you. Romans chapter 3. Just in case, just give me the New Living Translation. Just in case you say, what's this? Romans chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 21. It says, now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. Hallelujah. As was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. It says, for God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in time past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. Faith in who? A faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So for you and I, no longer should we have that setback when it comes to relating with God. Because we have an advocate with the Father. He said he made him sin for us. Okay? Him who know no sin. So if you remember, when the sacrifice in the Old Testament, it had to always be an animal without blemish. Okay? And that's why the same sacrifice he offered to himself was he who knew no sin. The God himself is righteous. Why? God is perfect. Okay? And he's looking for him to, for you to relate with him, you have to be on the same page or the same level. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you see people, and oftentimes when you see people, two people can only relate when they come to the same level. Hallelujah. So when you keep complaining that your boss is harsh and all that, it's because he's not coming to your level, or you are not rising to his level. Hallelujah. But when two people are on the same level, they will flow easily and nothing will happen. Once there is a gradient, either one is this one, there will always be a problem because they are not on the same level. And so for you and I to approach God, God understood that, look, this is what I intended in the beginning, that I have a relationship with man that I created. He said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Hallelujah. When we were reading Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen, in creation. Hallelujah. You and I are his creation. When we put on Christ, that invisible attribute of God is seen, is meant to be seen through us. Amen. When you see somebody that is, and you see, put your actions and your words, put your, align your actions and your words, so that when you speak, people can align your words with whatever you are doing. So you do not say, and that's why the Bible says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Okay? Because your words, by your words, we can please you. So if over time, okay, your words are not consistent with your action, it will put a question mark on who you say you are. Hallelujah. So if you go and say, oh, I'm a very caring person, blah, 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 and then somebody does wrong, okay, or somebody needs care, like that that guy by the wayside, that was only the Samaritan that helped, you say, ah, in the Nigeria of nowadays, nobody helps anybody. Hallelujah. Amen. But you, as a child of God, you should know who to help. Because you are dressed up. You are dressed up by Christ. Hallelujah. That's why I went through that illustration of when you are forgiven, you are washed. That's why they say, are you washed in the blood? Okay, you are washed, clean. When you are going to stand before God, when you are going to go to people, you go to them dressed in a particular manner. And so when you put on Christ, you are dressed up and you can approach God. And that's why you can talk confidently and calmly the way Toby was talking. Hallelujah. Because you have that confidence. Now Christ, you know, Christ is not saying, Christ, he says, even yet, before we accepted him, he had since loved us. Abi? He has since accepted us. So Christ is not giving us any condition. The only person giving us condition is God. Okay? If you can accept him, I am fine. Hallelujah. And then Christ has come and did all the work he could do, showing us how to live life here. Eh? Because obviously, say, it's Christ now. He was 100% God. But Bible says that he was man. And that's why he could bleed. Hallelujah. And that's why he could be caught. Amen. And that's why he was eating. Abi? And then that's why he was sleeping. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why when he started doing miracles, people said, ah, is he not the son of the carpenter? Amen. Nah, he's not the same boy that was growing up, running up and down. How come suddenly he's saying he's God? That's how people commonize things. Okay, or just make things that simple. But God is saying, the way you readily would categorize things or readily accept all the stories you see on the social media, why don't you just readily accept that this is what he has done? That's why I read Romans 3. Because it says this, go back to verse Romans 3, verse 21. Because we started from Romans 1:17 that talked about the fact that you are made right in God's sight. Hallelujah. And then Romans 3:21 says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirement of the law. Because it will be double jeopardy. Abi? You know what double jeopardy is? It's Remy that will explain. So you don't suffer twice for the same offense. Abi? That's it. So, but you know that all of us practice double jeopardy. If Wairi sit down, Wairi sit down, she doesn't sit down. She falls on that chair and she hurts herself. When Mr. Sajidi is going to go to Wairi, he will go and he will shout on her. Meanwhile, ordinarily at disobedience, she has received reward for that disobedience. She don't fall. Then you adding the Wala, you don't go and start screaming on her. It's double jeopardy. Punishing her twice for the same offense. Is it punishable by law? Is it? I don't know. I'm asking. Remy is not trying to help me. You know what the Bible said? That they purposely did not accept. It is purposely.
Okay, so for God, he says he has shown us the way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. He has shown us the way. So if Christ has paid the price, okay, he has said, okay, I'm paying the price for these guys. So once I do it, you're fine. Please go to the next verse. 22. It says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Hallelujah. When you are righteous, you have a right standing with God. Okay? You have a right standing. You can approach him. And when you approach him, you can place your demands. Hallelujah. But instead of placing demands, I would rather you go approach him and just worship him. Amen. He says he's looking for such, those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not those that will be demanding. Because the things that we want to go and demand, whether we ask for them or not, he knows that we need them. And he will make provision for them. What he is looking out for is those that will worship him. Hallelujah. You join the 24 elders in heaven to say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. All he needs is for us to worship him. So we are approaching his throne, or we are approaching his presence, worshiping him. We are not approaching his presence and making a demand. Hallelujah. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm not saying don't make a demand if you have to make a demand. But oftentimes, the people that get more are the people that worship. Hallelujah. And you can worship him in diverse manners. You can worship him and be like Kenny and just be playing the keyboard. And be worshiping me. But as you are playing the keyboard, your heart is with him. It's not that you are playing the keyboard and you are thinking of how you eat Amala in the bathroom. That's really a problem. You know what will happen? If he's playing the keyboard and his heart is not there, somebody else that is hearing that keyboard and keys into the sound of that keyboard and is worshiping God will receive better reward than him. It says those who worship him in spirit and in truth. That good news, okay, is so important that you have to place it before you all the time. Amen. Because that's what gives you that right stand before God. So the good news is not that if you don't repent, you go to hell. Hallelujah. The good news is that if you believe that Christ is the Son of God, he says we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Please go to the verse before this. Verse 21. It says that, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping requirements of the law. Then go to verse 27. It says, can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Please hold on. Then we go to verse 28. It says, therefore, verse 28. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. Continue, please. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we forget about the law? Because some people will now come and say, someone says you don't need requirement of the law to have a right standing with God. Yes, you don't. But it's saying here, note that if we emphasize faith, does it mean that we can forget about the law? He says, of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. Hallelujah. And that's why Christ said that I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Amen. And if you have faith in Christ, the Bible says you will be able to fulfill all the requirements of the law. Because once you are in Christ, because in him, there is no blemish. In him, there's no fault. So once you are in him, all those laws that you wanted to keep one by one in your head, you don't bother anymore. Because you are just aligning and synchronizing your life with his life. And the Bible has said it here that once, in fact, it's only when we have faith that we truly fulfill the law. And it says that how many portions did Christ divide the law into? Two. Abi? Your responsibility to God, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And then, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said again, this new commandment that I give to you, love your neighbor as Christ has loved, as Christ has loved you. Amen. Hallelujah. And then if you go back to everything about the law, go and read everything from, if you have been reading the Bible that we'll be sending out, from Genesis, if you read the five books, everything was all about people living life properly and aligning with what God wants them to align with. And in all that, he says, if a man steals, or he took over his wife or his neighbor's wife, or he stole his neighbor's whatever, everything is about you showing love. And if God's saying that for you to be in right standing with me, then accept Christ. And then he says all these things cannot be accomplished except from start to finish, except by faith. And he's now saying that it's because of faith that you can fulfill the law. It means that everything subsists in him. And then when you go back to John chapter 1, he says that there was nothing that was made without him. So the trick of the matter is that if you hold on to Christ, then you have held on to everything. Hallelujah. If you hold on to Christ, and when you hold on to him, it's just not by lip service, which was why I used the example of the person playing the keyboard, and he's just playing the keyboard, enjoying it without his heart being there, and somebody else hearing what he's playing and keying into it and beginning to worship God. God wants us, our life, to honor him. God wants that when people see us, they will truly say, oh, of a truth, this is an example of who has offered himself to God. You know, it's now that we think that it's difficult to find people that truly, you know, when anybody is telling you, talking to you, and relating and speaking Christianese, you know Christianese, and speaking Christianese to you, it becomes a problem. I don't even like it. God bless you. It makes me feel that it's an artificial life. Okay? Because all true, when Christ was sitting with his disciples, he was showing them how to do things. Not by sitting them down. Sometimes you sit them down and teach them. But then he showed them by example. He was living by example. And then he would say, have you been with me this long and you do not know? Amen. Mean that you are not using all your senses as you are with me. And it's very important. If that good news, you lay hold of it and continually look at that good news, then every other thing will be dim. It's just like when there is darkness and suddenly somebody throws a ray of light. Now, that ray of light, depending on how it is very well, that ray of light is very welcome. And as you begin to go closer to that real light, you appreciate it the more. That's exactly when you look at the good news. Amen. And you begin to look at it and dwell on it on a daily basis. Just decide and say, okay, let me go back. This from his birth to his death and then to his ascension. And then you look at his coming back. And that's one that should be giving you, how do you call it? That's one that should make you happy the more. He's coming back. Hallelujah. Because when he comes back, everything that we all believe and have been saying will come to fruition. And those that didn't believe, they will not be there. But we don't want to look at people and say they didn't believe. We want everybody. Because he says, the grace of God has appeared to all men. And he has given to every man the measure of faith. Amen. Everybody has an iota of faith. Just like the same way that everybody knows that there is God. Because Romans 1, 21 and 20 and 21 tells us that there is nobody except they choose. And it says that without excuse, they can see God in creation. And that's why some people will go and they see a rock and sit by the rock and start worshiping that rock. Why do they think that rock is special? Eh? When people make a God out of something, they are seeing God in that creation. But they're just making a mistake because they should see beyond that creation that what's the force behind this thing. Amen. When you see a man that is living according to the status of God, it's not about you worshiping that man. It's about you finding out why this man remains resolute about the things of God and will not shake. It's not the man who is what is making him stand there that you should look for. See, it's just like, you know, in those days, how many of you know Mike Tyson? I didn't expect you to know Mike Tyson. You know Mike Tyson? You fought with him. You know, for a long time, when Mike Tyson will come to the ring, he doesn't spend, he's a boxer. And I think there are, how many rounds in a boxing match? 12 rounds in a boxing match. Mike Tyson hardly goes five. Five is very rare. Two rounds. And I think each round is about 3 minutes, 59 seconds or something. The guy doesn't go more than two rounds. If he goes five, that person that went five has tried. Then when I was going to start getting interested in watching his matches, the only match I was going to watch was the one he fought with Michael Spinks. So there was so much noise, like the noise I expect you to make as halftime is coming, as recreational fitness is coming, I expect you to be making noise so that everybody's looking forward to having a nice time with God, right? There was so much noise about that fight. Then the two of them will come. Tyson will stand, and he's a very short man. Spinks is tall. I'll deal with you, blah, blah, blah. So everybody was looking at this is a match of all matches. Huh? And so on the day of the match, you know when you go to the stadium, have you been to the stadium before? It's only Mr. Sajid. Have you been to the stadium before? Have you bought tickets to enter the stadium before? Okay. So the only time I went to watch Super Eagles play Argentina in the stadium at Abuja. So I saw all those Argentine stars. The Messi did not come that time. And that day we beat them. So when we wanted to buy the tickets, when we went to the booth, we said there's no ticket. But we get Agbero. Say ticket D. Ah, this is where they are selling tickets. These boys are pulling you that there's ticket. Everything is black market. So we brought black market tickets. So the same thing. They were buying tickets at the booth. They started the match. Some people were still buying tickets. In 90 seconds, Tyson finished that guy in 90 seconds. You know what 90 seconds is? 1 minute, 30 seconds. And people are paying. They're still paying to enter. I think that guy just thought of it that when he received the first blow and the second blow, that there's no point. They will pay me. Let me just collect this money. One and a half minutes, the match was over. And So some people didn't believe it. They still bought tickets to come and see that he has finished the match. That was the end of that match. Now, nobody could drop Tyson in everybody's mind. But then there was a man, his sparring partner. You know who his sparring partner is? The one that he trains with. That one knows how to knock him on the ground. So during training, he knocks him on the ground. But of course, they never made it public. so that nobody, it was difficult for people to knock him on the ground. So that guy that knocked him on the ground understood him very well. So you know that when Mike Tyson sees that guy, Tyson will not be talking anyhow to that guy. Abi, he will not be talking anyhow to that guy. Now, see, finish is the problem of everybody. Because we are too familiar. If you don't keep what God has done before you and regularly revisit it, you become too familiar that you forget that you are clothed in righteousness. That instead of you laboring to become a good person, when you put on Christ and don't say that, look, Christ, this is me. Huh? I have come. He will, with time, change into that image of Christ that you always put on. Amen. I didn't used to bother. I always think that you just dress how you want to dress. But when you go to certain places, you find out that the way you dress matters. And that's why it matters to God. What you put on to come before him. You don't come to God and tell him, God, I've kept this commandment. He cannot relate with it. Because he's not interested in self-righteousness. It's the standard that he has put for you that he says you should take on. Amen. And we cannot serve God the way we think we should serve God. We have to serve God and worship God by his own standard. That's when he's going to have any meaning to him. So if I tell you that, look, if you come to my house, knock the door 3 times. If you knock the door 3 times, I know it's you, Mr. Sajiri. When you come and you knock once, I will say it's not Mr. Sajiri because I told Mr. Sajiri, knock 3 times. Then I will not come to the door. Then you listen, you not stand and say, this is Pastor NYSF. He said, I should come. I knocked. He didn't open the door. Blah, blah, blah. You just grumble from morning to night. Meanwhile, I'm waiting to hear 3. That's what happens when we refuse to take the righteousness of God to approach God. Amen. We need not ask for anything anymore. Said everything has been done. I mean, that foundation has been laid. What God is looking for is those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And you cannot do that. You can't attain that if you neglect the good news. That God will punish you is not a good news. Hallelujah. And because we are not saying God will punish you, that's why you have to go back home. Where were we now? We were on Romans 3. The last verse. That's why saying that if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. Because only when we truly understand Christ, that's when we can live right according to standards. So we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are slaves of what? Righteousness. Hallelujah. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are slaves of righteousness. You know when you are a slave of something, you have to obey that thing. So if this is what righteousness is dictating, because you are a slave of righteousness, you will follow righteousness. Amen. Sin will become, I don't even know how to say, sin will become, it's those people that have left some sinful behaviors that can really explain what it is when something nauseates you. It will come nauseating. Because you are a slave of righteousness. You know that this thing does not come. But if you are here and if they say, oh yeah, change these 3 zeros. These 3 zeros, change it to 6. You say, Abi? I think there was a time when we were building here, and one contractor came to Mrs. Ajiri. I wanted to do deal with Mrs. Ajiri. Mrs. Ajiri was forming spiritual. He said, no. And it's true. Why would you want to sell something that is 1,500? I say, look, you're supposed to deliver 10, but you want to deliver 8. I say, tell her to deliver 10. Then you just say, for everyone, I'll just give you 1,000. there's a problem. If you readily accept that kind of thing, there's a problem. That means that being slave to righteousness is not part of you. We're not slave to sin. Slave to sin means that you just follow after sin. And don't forget what the Bible says, that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of righteousness. That's why you're a slave to righteousness, because you have been sealed. Your spirit has been sealed. And what is your spirit? You, the core of your being, has been sealed by the Holy Spirit of righteousness. That's why you're a slave to righteousness. So if anybody, if anything wants to permeate through that seal, it has to be that it has to be about righteousness. And that's why he says, and that's a discussion for another day, that as a newborn being, you cannot sin. Because where you are truly is within the seal of righteousness. And nothing can permeate that seal. Look after to please God than to please man. When you want to please man, you will fail God. And then God will not be able to talk about you like he spoke about Job. God did not brag about Job because of the things that Job had. God bragged about Job because there was no one that was as righteous as Job, and shunned all evil in the time of Job. So when I was growing up, when suddenly I just have a brain touch, I just go and clear one part of my room, I create an altar, put table, put a table, create an altar there, and say, God, I just want to be a serious boy. I will kneel down, day one, day two, the next day, the third day like this, God, I'll come and kneel down in the morning, in the evening, let me go. Then after 1 month, when you come to that table, you find biscuits, everything on that altar. Then after so many months, I say, I want to be serious again. I'll clear everywhere, put this thing again. That's what many people do. But saying that, you don't need to go through all this. All you need to do is look at what I have done. Just like that serpent that they raised in the wilderness. Say, anybody that's been beaten, all you need to do is believe. And it was faith that was teaching them. Believe, look, and look at this serpent, and you'll be healed. And then I just come and say, I can't keep this altar. Don't worry, God, but you understand that this. But we know better. God wants you to. God has moved from this beginning of the story. God is here. And when he's looking at you, this air that I'm talking about is the place of finished work of Christ. And when he's looking at you, he's looking at you from this point of view. But you have chosen to stay here and saying you are working hard to please God. When all God says is that this finished work, just lay hold of it and you'll please me. Let's rise to our feet. Said we are made right in God's sight when we believe that Jesus came to this earth as a man, lived a perfect life, died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins, then rose from the grave 3 days later. God alone is righteous, but by grace through faith, he has declared us righteous too. Amen. He says we cannot live right in God's sight if we do not take hold of what he has given to us. And let's just talk to him this morning, this night. If there's anything that we want to approach him for, we approach his throne of grace from that position of being righteous, having right standing. And the only person that can lay claim to having right standing is the one that understands this good news or believes in this good news. Hallelujah. And it's not that you just believe. It believes is a continuous thing. Hallelujah. It's not that the one that believes continually, you believe. Because it's Your life is a continuum. And in him, you find peace. Lay aside all worries. I need this, I need that. Just give him quality worship. Worship can be in songs. It can be from the appreciation of your heart. And it can be in any form. But make sure that it is making God bigger in your sight and less of man. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you for seeds of words, of your words that have been laid this night. Thank you because we walk with it. You give us, even as you've given us that grace, teach us even to lay hold of that which you have, walking right standing with you. We give you all the praise, Father, in Jesus' name.